Welcome back to the Matter of Facts podcast on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. We talk prepping, guns, and politics every week on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Go check out our content at mofpodcast.com on Facebook or Instagram. You can support us via Patreon or by checking out our affiliate partners. I'm your host, Phil Rabley, and my co-host, Andrew Bobo, is on the other side of the mic, and here's your show. And welcome back to Matter of Facts podcast. It's Friday night. I have nothing to drink, and this is going to be a drinking episode. Because we're going to talk about my favorite three-letter agency at some point. Andrew, how do we arrive at this point where, like, I have this queued up in the banners, and yet I don't have, like, a whiskey and coke or anything sitting here to help modulate my emotions?
Why didn't you get one?
Didn't think of it until literally I hit the button that said go live, and then I was like, ugh, well, critical oversight.
Do you have a kid? Have her make you one. Where's the wife at?
The wife is ruminating. We literally just ran back in the door 15 minutes ago from doing acts of kindness and charity for others. So,
well, shoot her a text and say, whiskey and coke, please.
I'll just soldier on without it.
Well, so you have options to get one, so stop complaining.
Yeah, I know. That's what you're here for, is telling me to shut up and get over it. So let's start with something fun before we start ranting, before I start losing my crap about, you know, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and F-ups. So I am admitting at this point that I'm like a self-admitted radio dork. Like, I'll happily wear the title. We had that episode with our listener Scott a few weeks ago now, I think, where we did the comms of sorcery episode, and for anybody that missed it, you should definitely go back and listen to or watch that. It was lots and lots of really good, hey Raggle Fraggle, thanks for joining us. It was lots of really good information. It was kind of centered mostly around GMRS, which I think is going to be my particular brand of radio dorkdom, just because, you know, like I've laid out before, I'm not going to convince my wife and daughter to jump through the hoops to get ham licenses. And quite frankly, the more I dig into GMRS, the more I find I just like the community, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably going to be the route I go. My radio collection has grown from the FRS radios, the Tulo Motorola T800s that we've been using for years, to now four Baofeng GM15s, which I've been fairly happy with. For anybody that happens to be crawling the interwebs looking for one, if you can't find it and you find a Radio Oddity GM30, they are functionally exactly the same. They use the same programming software, for goodness sake. So, like, you know, programming-wise, as far as I'm concerned, they're clones of each other. Probably come out of the same factory, to be honest. But I haven't been unhappy with the Baofengs. Obviously, I haven't thrown one around enough yet to know how durable it is, but it definitely seems to be getting the job done. More recently, in that bottom picture, I picked up a Radio Oddity DB20G 20 watt mobile and squeezed that into the pocket in my truck right in front of the cup holders. And I haven't been unhappy with that so far. I've had a chance to use it a little bit, just kind of, you know, scooting around town. I've got to the point now where as soon as I get in the truck, I just, you know, twist the knob and turn it on. It's set to the nearest repeater, which is down in New Orleans, and the day I put it in to make sure it was working properly, before I went through the trouble of drilling holes and mounting it, I just hooked everything up real quick, and I ker-chunked the repeater, and I got a good callback from it, so I knew it was working correctly and transmitting, receiving right, and I had it programmed right. And then that evening, after I got everything done, I went ahead and just, you know, grabbed the mic, flipped it back to the New Orleans repeater, keyed up, and did a repeater check. Got a good return from somebody who was talking to me from Florida, of all places. So for the listeners that are not aware, unlike with ham, where in ham radio it is permissible, according to the FCC, to link repeaters by radio frequency, you can't do that with GMRS, but what people have figured out in GMRS is that they actually hook repeaters together using internet nodes. So you can think about this, like, Andrew, you've used like VoIP, right? Voice over IP.
Yeah.
Like an internet based phone, basically. Mm-hmm. They basically hook that to the transmit receive side of a GMRS repeater, And then anything, any traffic that goes back and forth across that gets shot through the node. And all the repeaters that are all linked together through the internet all crosstalk to each other. So what happened was, I was talking to the New Orleans repeater, and someone in Florida happened to be close to whatever repeater they have over there. I think he said Seminole, but I could have misheard that. But he was talking to his repeater in Florida, and those two repeaters are linked together through an internet node. So it's, you know, I don't know that that has, I don't know that that system has a ton of use for, like, for our community, for the preparedness community, because if there's a major power outage, then those repeaters are all going to go down, and unless they're running off a generator or a solar setup, and most of them are not, and the internet nodes are also going to be quickly compromised by the comm lines getting shut down. But it's an interesting use case, and, you know, quite frankly, I've gotten to the point where that mobile was able to tag the repeater, and I am 2.5 miles inland from Lake Pontchartrain, plus 25 miles over the lake. So I'm fairly happy with the range I've been able to get out of this thing. I don't know if I'm going to be able to accomplish my ultimate goal with this setup, which is to be able to reach my wife at her workplace from home. And I don't want to get too far into it yet, because I hate talking about stuff that hasn't come to fruition yet, but you and I have talked offline, and I have a plan in the making that I think will probably pull that off. Probably.
I mean, why, but talking to the person in Florida, why do you think it won't, why do you think it has no value to you?
Well, it's not that I think it has no value to me. I think if you're approaching GMRS as a hobby, like a lot of ham radio users do, and it's kind of like for the pure enjoyment of the radio dorkdom and nerdism, like I managed to talk to somebody 5 states away, then that's cool. But the primary reason I got into off-grid comms is so that in the event of a major disaster, like, you know, like I didn't have a Cat 4 hurricane try to wipe us off the face of the earth a couple years ago, I'm looking for ways to have communications with a small group of people in the event that the cell phones go down, the internet goes down, the power goes down. So I need fully self-contained communications within as wide of a radius as I can get. And my concern with these repeaters is that most of these repeaters that, like the one I'm currently talking to in New Orleans, I don't know. I'd have to try to get in touch with that repeater owner and ask him some questions, which I'm sure he'd answer, but it's not as if he's going to radically alter it on my behalf. But my concern is that most of these repeaters, they're not running on a generator. They don't have a generator backup. So if there's a widespread power outage, those repeaters go down. And even if you're fortunate enough to be in the situation where you have a generator backup, if we end up in the situation like we were after Ida, where AT&T's internet service was out all throughout this area, that internet node goes down. So you see where I'm coming from? It's one of those things where, well, it's,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but I feel like... I mean, I see why you're making it and stuff like that, but information's information. So in the event that something did happen, and you know, maybe the power didn't go out, but if you can call, and if even if it's in an event to where the power is not even in the, not even a factor... as far as going out or a concern of going out, I mean, having the ability to call somebody and know that you can reach Florida, who knows, the next person might be in Georgia or, you know, whatever. So just the idea that you can reach that far for additional information is pretty big. I mean, that widens your circle out to multiple states.
Yeah, well, and it also depends, though, because, like, in my head, whenever I talk about widespread disaster, like, we all know where I'm coming from. I live in Hurricane Alley, and when we get a hurricane come through here, it wipes out 5 zip codes. That's the way hurricanes work, y'all. I'm not thinking about, like, not too long ago, we had an F2 tornado touchdown about 20 miles east of me through my hometown and ripped up a bunch of neighborhoods. But the areas all around those neighborhoods were all still fine. There was power outage for a couple of days. But in a situation like that where the disaster is much, much more localized, those repeaters still have a chance of being up. And then the ability to utilize them becomes much more of a – it becomes much more plausible. I see where you're coming from. It's a question of, like, how widespread is the disaster? How serious is the devastation? are those repeaters impacted? I guess, like for my most immediate goal of being able to keep in touch with my wife across town, I really need to figure out a way to get a get about a 4 mile simplex repeater, you know, or a 4 mile simplex range. And I'm not going to be able to accomplish that with, the only way I'm going to pull that off with her in her Jeep, because she's not going to let me drill holes in her Jeep to do what I did with my truck and put like a mobile station into it. I might be able, because the mobile I got really doesn't require it. Like it has a pigtail that plugs into a cigarette lighter socket. I could get a mag mount antenna that she could just drop onto her hood or stick on her roof, and then just route the cable in through an open window, or, you know, kind of pinch it through the door gasket, you know, in a field expedient manner. And then she could literally sit that radio on her center console and plug it into the cigarette lighter, and she can run without having to make drastic modifications and permanent modifications to her vehicle like I did. So that might be an option. I think ultimately what I'm looking at, though, is I want to build kind of a man-pack radio system so that we have more than just handset power available to us, like when we go camping or when we're at prepper camp or various places. And then, so I've started wrangling the stuff together to pull that off. And I'm also thinking along the lines of, you know, once I have that radio system built, then the only things I really need to utilize it here at the house is I would need a mast and an antenna that would live here at the house. I would need to run some coax to probably this office, honestly. And I would need a DC power inverter with a pigtail, so I can just unplug the radio from the built-in battery that's going to be in the man pack to run it when I'm mobile, plug it into the DC inverter, screw in the antenna that's, you know, sitting in the backyard that I've run coax into the house, and then I'll be in a position where I can use this man packs, you know, in here and push 50 watts out through a 30-foot mast and probably get fairly decent range when you consider the fact that I was able to get a signal 27 miles with 20 watts with an antenna this tall sitting on the roof of my truck. So in the GMRS game, man, because, I mean, you know how UHF works. Like, you're familiar enough with ham radio that UHF is line of sight. It does not tolerate a lot of – it gets bounced around real hard by things like buildings and trees and everything. And every foot higher up in the air you can get your antenna makes a world of difference to GMRS because of the frequencies involved. So I'm thinking for a home installation – I need to get that mast 20 or 30 feet up in the air. Not because it's going to be useless at 10 feet, but because every foot higher improves the performance that much. But I can tell you that my handset will not receive the New Orleans repeater from right here at my house very reliably. Like, every now and then I'll hear something. If I drive down to the lakefront with my handset, I can pick up the New Orleans repeater without a problem, but I can't hit it from the lakefront reliably. But this thing, I was able to get a strong return from the repeater from my driveway. So the step up in power and the improvement in the antenna just to the point I'm at now has already unlocked a world of additional range for me. But I don't think this is the last time I'm going to be talking about radio dork stuff, because I've kind of got bit by the bug.
Yeah, it's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rabbit hole, but I think there's, because I know that a lot of our listeners, several of our listeners have expressed to me in conversations like, Phil, I don't care about antenna design and all this nonsense. I just want to be able to pick up a radio and talk to my wife. So I think there's room in talking about GMRS because of how the frequencies are channelized, because of how it's set up. I think there's room to make that a simple thing that solves a need for people. And I think that there's a way for me to present that as an option for off-grid communications that's palatable and digestible by a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am digging headfirst into things like antenna design because I'm a nerd and I find it interesting. But I understand that like 95% of our audience just says, Phil, tell me what I need to get so I can talk to my 4 miles away. And I'm gonna try to like not let my autism run wild and you know, tell everybody about crap they don't want to hear and just give them the information they're asking for. I swear if my wife is listening right now, she's giggling because, God, I talk her ear off about crap she doesn't care about so often. But
perks of being married.
Well, you know.
You always have someone to listen. That'll listen to you.
I will.
I mean, hopefully.
Anyway. So, let's start with the aggravating topic. I don't know that there's much that could be said about this that hasn't already been said several times, because this happened almost a month ago now, and I haven't heard a lot of additional information come out since, but sounds to me like ATF upgraded from shooting people's dogs to just shooting homeowners now.
Yeah, they don't care.
No, they don't. Two-leg,
four-leg. I mean, the biggest thing is they just want gun owners dead, so.
Well, and I've kind of taken the position of, like, I am of the opinion, and anybody's welcome to disagree with me, but I'm of the opinion that most federal agencies only exist at this point to attempt to justify their continued existence. So ATF has to be seen doing their job and, you know, arresting the scary gun owners. And I think at this point, that is the whole point of what they were doing here. Like, I'm going to draw parallels of this to the Waco, you know, the raid against hence Waco, Texas, against the Branch Davidians compound, because it's been said numerous times following that debacle that, you know, the local sheriff could have picked up David Koresh on the side of the road on his morning run. He could have picked him up at the coffee shop where he had coffee several times a week. There were so many opportunities to take him in a peaceful manner. He would have come to the sheriff's station if they would have just called and said, hey, we need you to come in for some questions. But the ATF decided that the way to do this was by kicking in doors, by men wearing masks with machine guns, because they wanted to be seen doing their jobs. And you don't get to argue that we need a bigger budget for more people and more stuff if the local, you know, stumblefuck sheriff just gets this guy without firing a shot. You got to have the cattle car full of the guys in black uniforms show up and kick a door in so that everybody realizes this is why we pay these people. This is why we cut them millions or billions of dollars in budget every year, is so they kick people's door in. So what do we have happen here? We have a no-knock raid at 6 o'clock in the morning while this homeowner was home. No one apparently let them know this was the ATF, that this was law enforcement, and the homeowner did exactly what almost any rational, sane person would have done in his situation, and he shot back at people who were invading his home because he didn't realize they were cops, and they shot him in the head and killed him. Now, the family and many other people have asked, what precipitated the need to do a no-knock raid? What pushed this course of action to the forefront that this was the way to deal with the problem? You could have raided his home when he was at work. You could have raided his home when nobody was home. That's what sane, rational people with tactical training do. Is if my concern is I'm looking for evidence of a crime in a home, I don't want to get into a fight with the homeowners. I'm going to wait till the husband's at work and the wife's out getting groceries, and then I may hit the front door when nobody's home. And by the time anybody realizes what's going on, I got all the evidence I need. Or if my concern is I want to get the homeowner, then I'm going to have the local police pull the homeowner over while he's on his way to work, because he goes to work the same time every freaking morning. Probably takes the same path to get to and from work. I can pick him up at his office at an airport where you can't have guns. There were so many ways to deal with this problem that didn't have to end with this man dying, and I'm not taking a position on whether or not he was guilty of a crime, because we can't figure that out because you can't investigate a freaking corpse. But what pisses me off is the fact that, once again, federal law enforcement has decided that the only way to deal with this problem is by treating every problem like a nail and they are a hammer. Any option that doesn't involve them getting to kick in somebody's door and roughhouse with a homeowner is not one they're interested in pursuing. And that pisses me off. I think people have a right to defend themselves in their homes. I think law enforcement has a duty and a responsibility to use the minimum amount of force to discharge a warrant, not the amount that makes you feel good or puts lead in your pencil every morning. I'm tired of hearing about homeowners getting into gunfights with feds because feds can't help themselves but to pack a bunch of guys full of, you know, wearing balaclavas into a friggin' cattle car and roll them up to somebody's door just to make a point. Am I off base?
No, I mean, it there's no reason why they couldn't have done this any different. I mean, even the family's questioning, they're questioning why the ATF did what they did. And so it's just like, you know, you could have went to his work. You could have questioned him any other 100 different ways, spoke to him, and being a law abiding citizen, I'm sure if the ATF or whoever was like, hey, we need to talk to you, I'm sure he'd come in and speak to you. Because I mean, this guy basically, it sounds like what they were trying to go after this guy was selling firearms, and they were saying that he was doing it illegally, which with the change in the definition, basically this is right up to what they were talking about this guy doing is the exact thing that they changed the definition for. And basically so they changed the definition, and they in turn are making millions, hundreds of millions of gun owners felons, basically, or hundreds of thousands, if not millions. Sorry.
No, before we move on to the next thing, there's just one thing I want to point out. And like, this is the brother's assertion, the brother of the now deceased East gentleman. And like, this is the same question I have to ask myself. So the deceased brother was stating that, you know, that his brother was well connected in Arkansas, had an annual salary of more than $250,000, and for an airport director, that's very believable for a big airport. Though by the time you work your way up that high in aviation, you're making some bucks. And apparently had, you know, some very nice collections of guns and coins. But this statement right here is the one that makes me wonder. When someone makes that much money, there's no incentive to do anything wrong. He has so much to lose. And this is the thing that makes me wonder. What the ATF is asserting is that they're asserting that the accused, that the now deceased, was straw purchasing firearms, basically. He'd go in and buy, like, you know, 20 Glocks, and he'd sell them, and they were showing up at crime scenes and yada, yada, yada. Let's give ground on that for just the briefest of moments and say, okay, that's what was going on. Why? Why even engage in some nonsense like that when you are living in a very cushy suburb with a very well-paying job, and one single of those firearms getting found at a crime scene is grounds to have your entire life torn apart? I don't see it. I question it. I really want to see the ATF's warrant. I really want to see their evidence. Because I can't help but think we are talking about the same agency that lied through their teeth about why they raided, they lied through their teeth about their involvement in Ruby Ridge. They lied through their teeth about everything that happened at Waco. They've lied through their teeth multiple times. Their freaking current director is a stumblefuck moron. This whole agency has so little credibility to me. That they say this guy was selling guns on the black market. Show me your evidence, because I don't know that I believe a thing that comes out of their mouths at this point. They've lied too many times. They have no integrity as an agency. And for the officers who work for them, boys, I don't know what to tell y'all anymore. Like, y'all are the baddies at this point. Your entire agency is corrupt. And if you can't see it anymore, then I don't think you want to see it. But I'm just very frustrated and concerned. And, you know, if I can get my screens to cooperate. And that brings us to, you know, the thing Andrew was referencing earlier, which quite frankly makes me more than a little bit nervous. The ATF has just proposed a new rule to change the definition of whether or not you are engaged in the business as a dealer in firearms. Now, for those of you who are not, like, you know, really super plugged in, understand that if you want to be in the business of selling firearms, you are legally required to go and get a license so that the federal government knows you're selling guns. And then there's some paperwork to go through, and we all know if you've ever gone and bought a gun, you have to do a 4473, get a background check, yada, yada, yada. And the FFL, the Federal Firearms Licensee, has to maintain a bound book to basically say, I sold this gun to this person, yada, yada, yada. That all that, like, I'm not an expert, I'm not an FFL, I don't need that headache in my life, but I understand the broad strokes of it. There's a lot of crap involved if you want to sell firearms in this country, even though I think you should be able to buy machine guns and RPGs out of vending machines. We don't live in that world, you know, just bear with us. However, it has also been well understood for a very, very long time that if I want to sell a gun to Andrew, and I can't think of any reasons I'd want to sell a gun, but, you know, humor me for a moment. But if I wanted to, and I knew that Andrew wasn't, you know, an axe murderer or a felon, I could legally sell him a firearm, and we're fine, because I'm not an FFL holder. I'm not in the business of selling guns. I just have a gun I don't want anymore. He wants it. We trade some cash for some plastic and metal, and we make that happen. And that's always been legal up to this point. Right up until the ATF wants to now redefine whether or not you are engaged in the business as a dealer in firearms. Now, I'm not going to belabor this whole thing. I'm going to scroll on down to the executive summary and point out a couple of sections I highlighted, and then I really want to hear Andrew's thoughts, because, like, this genuinely unnerves the hell out of me. So, ATF wishes to change the previous definition hinged around whether the income from selling the firearm was considered to be for their livelihood. In other words, like, if as a business I am buying and selling guns, then obviously I'm engaged in the business. They wish to change it to predominantly earn a profit. So it's not just that if you sell a gun for a profit that you have to have an FFL or you get your door kicked in and get shot. It's the fact that if it's predominantly to earn a profit. So, like, if I incidentally earn a profit, or if guns appreciate over time, which everybody freaking knows they do. I mean, you know, I know a person who bought a firearm back in the late 70s, and current market value, it's appreciated 300%. So if that person sells that gun for what it's currently worth, which is a lot more money than what he bought it for, did he sell it to predominantly earn a profit, or did he just earn a profit because the gun's worth more 30, 40 years later? You see where I'm going with this? The part of this that makes me nervous is it requires the ATF to assume the person's motive was to predominantly earn a profit. And that presumption, in my opinion, is very, very squishy legally. But I think that's the point. I think the point is to make this legally squishy so that they can apply it where they want to apply it, which is they want to discourage people from private party sales because there's some thought process that they're untraceable. I got news for you. It's pretty freaking hard to trace a sold firearm anyway. And best I'm aware, Johnny B. Gangbanger that's selling Glocks out of his trunk, he ain't keeping a bound book. But I digress.
Well, that's what the director... right off the ATF's website here, he's quoted as saying, this is about protecting the lives of innocent law-abiding Americans, as well as the rule of law. There is a large and growing black market of guns that are being sold by people who are in the business of dealing and are doing it without a license, and therefore they are not running a background check the way the law requires, and it is fueling violence.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he's talking about the law-abiding citizen not following the rules, right? You know, not the gangbanger that, like you said, is selling basically is doing the drive-by shootings and selling stuff out of the trunk of a car and everything like that. They can't be talking about them, God forbid. But but that's the thing is, like, the Brian Malinowski, I think is the last name.
Basically, that's as close as I'm going to get to it, but yeah.
Yeah, but basically this guy who they kicked the door in 6 o'clock in the morning, and there's some lawmakers that are actually pushing for the ATF to release body cam footage and all kinds of stuff to say, hey, what the heck happened? And so, I mean, they got video of them walking up to his house, and they cover his Ring camera, and they cover the camera up on his Ring doorbell so that they can't be videotaped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they don't want to see. And on top of that, the warrant that was released that they, I guess they've been releasing around, it's been so heavily redacted, you can't see, like, you don't get anything from it. But they, it, so basically, it is a heavily redacted warrant, affidavit. The ATF claims that, Malinowski purchased numerous firearms that he resold without a dealer's license. That's 100% to this rule right here he did not have a dealer license. And that's the thing is, like, I have some guns and I was looking at them, like, you know what? I don't shoot them. They've been just collecting dust. I want to sell them.
That's
the thing though, is now you can't,
or you better now, you better sell them for not one penny more than you paid for them.
Yeah, no, I mean, but I'm going to gift you a gun and you can gift me money, I guess.
Oh, no. That they'll definitely shoot you over that.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm wondering, I feel like the ATF, they got their teeth kicked in with the frames and receivers rule, or they're still getting their teeth kicked in with that. They got their teeth kicked in with the pistol brace rule. I feel like this one is just 100%. This is like the Hail Mary, to completely stiff the law abiding gun owner, from selling and buying firearms the way it should have always been, or way it's always been, and the way it should always be, is if you want to sell at private party, then you know what? Go ahead and do it. And that's where, you know, that's the thing, is that's where the, if, and I've noticed over the last, I mean, even 10 years or so, a lot of people that I know who are selling firearms, they're requiring a CPL just to cover their butt, because they don't want to sell to somebody who's a convicted felon or anything like that. So they're saying, hey, you need a CPL.
Yeah.
And a lot of the forums that I go on, it's, hey, you need a CPL, stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with this rule. I'm sure it goes into effect, I believe, May 20th, I want to say, is what I heard, or read. And, I'm kind of curious to see what happens with it, because obviously with all these stupid rule changes that they do, as Americans, you know, or law-abiding citizens, I would say, we're supposed to go with the law. We're supposed to follow the law while it's in court. That's what's stupid, is they implement this unconstitutional rule, and then we have to follow it while it's going through the court system, but I don't know. I mean, by all means, though, yeah.
But see, here's my frustration with what you just said. If for a moment I believe that there would be direct, serious consequences for the person who penned this nonsense, like whoever signs off on these rule changes, if that person was going to lose their freaking job and pension for putting one out that was found later to be unconstitutional, I would be much more inclined to humor the agency and let it have its day in court and be like, okay, I'm going to play by the rules, knowing that when this gets found unconstitutional, the person who penned it loses their daggum career and job. Like, I lost my rights, because a right delayed is a right denied. I lost my rights for a period of time. You lose your entire livelihood as a result, because you shouldn't have put your name on this nonsense. And to that end, I firmly and wholeheartedly believe that the only way we're ever going to see this nonsense unwind itself is if there's real legitimate career-ending consequences for the people who continue to propose laws and rules that are later found unconstitutional. It has to be that severe, because otherwise there's nothing to stop them from doing it. Like I've said before, what aggravates me about our legal system is that the government uses our tax dollars, because they don't produce anything to sell to anybody to make their own money. So that's how they keep themselves afloat. They steal money from us, This is so freaking appropriate right now, considering it's tax time. They steal money from us, okay? And then they use it to pay people to dream up this crap that screws us out of our rights. And then we spend our money, we donate it to organizations who then drag their butts into court and, you know, raise holy hell about the fact that this is unconstitutional. And that takes tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of months and years before we might, maybe, finally get a judgment that overturns it. And the whole time we're spending our money to fight this in court, those mother effers are spending our money on other lawyers to fight us against our own money. We're losing at this both ends. We're funding the war chest of the people that are screwing us while we're funding the war chest of the people that are trying to save us. It's freaking aggravating. And that is our, that is the American legal system.
Well, yeah, the government's using the taxpayer dollars to enforce unconstitutional laws against the taxpayer. And to fight the taxpayer, they use their taxpayer dollars in court to fight, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, I've said that before where it's just like that's actually – it's a crock of crap, like how the government can actually use your money – to strip your rights away is crazy. I mean, so yeah.
Well, I think Radical Fraggle is dead on. Like, people in positions of power are most interested in growing that power and protecting that power. Like, the only reason why anyone, any politician ever does the right thing is because doing the wrong thing is going to get them fired. That's the only daggum reason these people do anything right. I mean, you have to understand that, like, I basically regard politicians, even the ones I vote for, I regard them all basically as freaking like narcissistic, disgusting little sociopaths. And I truly believe that the only way any of them are ever going to do the right thing is if somebody is waiting with a paddle to whack them on the butt every time they do something wrong. It's the only thing they respond to is, I'm going to screw your day up if you don't do what I tell you to do. And I wish people existed that were immune to the allure of power and money that comes with politics, but all the people I know that don't care about that don't want to be involved in politics. They're people like me. The idea of me ever getting into politics makes my skin crawl because I just don't want to be involved in all that slimy nonsense. I don't do this whole thing where you speak politely and kindly to people who are trying to screw you. I'd rather tell them, F you, get off my friggin' porch. It's the way I'm wired. And people like me don't want to go into politics. The people that go into politics are the people who have something to benefit from it. And if you think that your politician, the one you voted for, the one that you shook hands with, is the only one totally immune from this allure of power, he might be, but I might be right too, that he's just doing what he's supposed to do to keep himself from getting fired. But if that threat is the only thing that keeps him on the straight and narrow, fine. That's what we're supposed to do as Americans, is distrust our daggum government. But the part of this that, like, there was this one passage in there that I think in a very conciliatory way says, the final rule expressly recognizes that individuals who purchase firearms for the enhancement of a personal collection or a legitimate hobby are permitted by the GCA to occasionally buy and sell firearms for the purposes or occasionally resell to a licensee or to a family member for lawful purposes without the need to obtain a license. And to me, that whole little passage sounds like a very half-hearted, cover my butt so that when we get sued in court, this goes our way. Because I have no faith in the ATF and the DOJ to not abuse this. I have no faith in government that they're not going to twist this to go after people doing private sales. I have no faith left in them anymore. They're going to abuse this. And if you don't think they're going to abuse this, there's a woman and a brother burying a man in hand right now who may or may not be guilty of a thing other than defending his freaking home from a bunch of guys in ski masks who kicked in his door at 6 o'clock in the morning. The history of this country is littered with the bodies of people who pissed off their government. And instead of that government trying to take them into custody in a peaceful manner to have their day in trial, they opted to use the maximum amount of force possible because, damn it, people are going to do what we say or we're going to kill them. And that is where I'm at with our government right now. I am so incredibly and unendingly frustrated that we are dealing with a literal mafia running around our country, booting in people's doors because they can. And the minute somebody defends their home, they make it out like, well, that was an unreasonable thing to do. Like, how dare he shoot at cops? Well, if you kick my door at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to do a whole lot more than greet you on the front porch or shake hands with you. There's going to be some lead flinging back and forth because I don't know who you are. I just know you kicked in the door where my wife and daughter sleep and we're about to have a fight. You know, this is the third episode that I've gotten on a good rant and you haven't pulled out the blood pressure warning.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm so disappointed, though. I put time and effort into that and I don't ever think to throw it up because I'm in the middle of, you know, my blood pressure getting into the triple digits.
Yeah, you're okay. I didn't see your the vein pop out, so you're fine.
That's what you're waiting for, isn't it? Is this vein right here to start like coming out and pulsing?
Yeah.
So I guess the question, Andrew, is like, what advice do we give to people in this situation, like to protect themselves? Like I mean,
I'm not gonna give advice because I'm not an attorney.
Yeah.
But I mean, the biggest thing I'm doing right now is just waiting because I mean the rule just dropped. Not long ago, I think it maybe a week ago, if that.
It's fairly recent, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just gonna wait till I'm waiting to see some more information come out on it. I'm waiting to see what like FPC and GOA and stuff say about it, and seeing what they, you know, because I know they usually will start putting on more information out regarding the whole situation, and they'll put out their opinion, which I already know their opinion. Mm-hmm. But they'll put out more on it. So I'm waiting to see what they say. You know, that's the thing is a gun that I was looking at selling. I mean, I got like 20 mags for it. So of course I'm going to sell it for more. You know, I'm going to sell it with that and with all the mags. And it, you know, it's at least the mags are at least a good another couple hundred bucks. So it's like, hey, you know. So yeah. So I mean, yeah. It's just one of those things where we just need to. Unfortunately, we need to sit back and let the FPC and GOA do something, do what they do best, and take the tyrants to court and kick in their teeth again because they've been doing a pretty good job lately about it. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know it. I mean, really, like, keep doing what you're doing, and I don't know. It's one of those things where just keep doing what you're doing, and. Let's see what we can't figure out and just keep pushing and resist where you can and donate to FPC and all that, all those other, you know, donate to those groups, donate to somewhere local. And
at the same time, like even to say, well, wait and see. I mean, even that makes me nervous, though, man, because like,
well, yeah.
Do you, Andrew Bobo, have any personal faith in the fact that the ATF and the DOJ are not willing to lie to secure warrants to do what they want to do? Like, I have no faith left in either agency whatsoever.
I have no faith in them at all. I mean, they're going to lie. They're going to do what they got to do. I mean, look at what happened with Ruby Ridge and Waco and all that stuff. They made up lies in order to go in. So I guess what I'm saying is,
to me, the outcome of this rule is almost a moot point because even if this rule gets struck down or gets its teeth kicked in, they're just going to say, oh, well, he straw purchased a gun and sold it to a drug dealer and we're going to kick in his door. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, we are reaching a point where once quiet, happy libertarian Phil is slowly drifting towards his anarcho-libertarian friends. That's like, you know, let's just cut the federal government by 95% and just send them all home all at the same time. And if that means that there is no federal law enforcement, there is no ATF, there is no FBI, there is no CIA, I am comfortable with those terms. All of you idiots go home and leave these people alone, and we will deal with problems ourselves. Because I've said on numerous occasions, I like to bring this up with, you know, in semi-polite company whenever somebody gets on a kick about how we need more law enforcement. I always point out to them, like, no. Law enforcement's not here to save my family from whoever's going to kick our door in. I do that. Law enforcement is to save all of y'all from people like me who are comfortable taking things into their own hands. Like, law enforcement is here so that I can call law enforcement and say, hey, if you don't come over here and deal with this person, I'm going to deal with them, and I'm going to do it in an ugly way. That's what law enforcement does. Law enforcement is there for the people who don't have the stomach to use violence to protect themselves and their loved ones. But for the rest of us, law enforcement is really just there to clean up a mess and take a report. Because by the time, not, you know, whoever's on the other side of 911 shows up at my front door, I've already dealt with the home intruder myself. I ain't going to lock myself in the bathroom and pray. I'm going to reload. And we're getting to a point where when more and more and more I see law enforcement at the federal level engaging things like this and having shootouts with homeowners on very, very flimsy reasoning, and the agency has proven that they're not trustworthy enough that we can trust what they tell us with the justification for the warrant, I get to the point where I say, okay, this whole agency is more harm than good. Get rid of all of them. I'm there. I don't know how everybody else feels, but that's how I feel. I just feel like if they're not going to be a net positive for the American people, and they certainly were not a net positive to Mr. Malinowski, then it's maybe time to just send all of them home.
Mm-hmm.
Turn ATF into a convenience store. I mean, I think a place that I could, you know, buy bourbon and cigars and bourbon cigars or a Glock all under one roof. That sounds like a party to me. Matter of fact, Andrew, business opportunity. You need to move down here, and we need to get an FFL and a liquor license, and we need to open a store called ATF, and it'll be Gun Store Bar Cigar Lounge. Bruh. Or we could call it Libertarian Wet Dream. That would work too. Anyway, do you have anything else you want to chuck in here at the end, or are we out of gas? Just
stay safe.
Yeah. I mean, people, the best I can tell y'all is that, like, I don't expect everybody to stay as plugged in some of this stuff as Andrew and I are. I do think that if you were a casual gun owner, a lot of this stuff is going to kind of float by you because, you know, you're just not into the lifestyle as much as we are. I do think, however, that if you characterize yourself as a Second Amendment advocate, you owe it to yourself and to the community to be involved and to be aware of these things and to advocate for what you believe in. Like I said years ago, and I continue to say it, we're at a point in this country where, as much as I think guns should not be a political issue, they very obviously are, and they will continue to be so for a very long time. We do not have the latitude to be quiet about firearms anymore. We don't have the latitude when you're in polite company and somebody starts chirping about guns to sit there and keep quiet because I don't want to start a fight or I don't want to start a confrontation. We all have to be advocates every single day, everywhere, everyone who raises the issue. We have to present our side. We have to be brave, and we have to be prepared to piss some people off. Because if we don't, then we are going to be the generation that watches our rights be stripped away further to the point where our children and our nieces and nephews will never know freedom like we had it. And we don't know it like the generation ahead of us did. So all I'm going to say is, I'm not preaching from, you know, from the root cellar. I get into arguments with people about gun laws all the time. I love to get into conversations with people about, like, hey, did you know you can make pipe bombs legally and the federal government's okay with it? And that freaks them out. And then I talk about, like, the fact that you can actually NFA, you can go through the NFA process and get permission to build a pipe bomb. Like, I love to talk to people about this stuff because it just blows their mind that this stuff is actually legal if you file the paperwork and pay the taxes. But that's the thing we have to do. When somebody says, oh, machine guns are illegal, stop them, politely address what they said, tell them they were wrong, explain to them why. Because we have to correct this misinformation. We cannot allow ignorant people to continue to vote with the guise of ignorance. If they're going to vote against our interests as far as the Second Amendment, I can't stop them, but I can at least correct their stupidity and tell them you're wrong. This is the way things really are. And if they still say, I'm going to vote against guns, assalamu alaikum, go with God. I sure as hell hope you never need somebody with a gun to defend your life, because I am not going to be the one. But anyway... Oh, Raggle Fraggle. They have drive-through daiquiris, right? Drive-through gun shops? I'm going to have to look in some legalese about that. But that would be some a thing if you had a drive up. If you, okay, so if I ever manage to get this idea off the ground and I open a store called ATF and we have cigars, bourbon, and guns all under one roof, I am putting in a drive through window just to really freak people out. It will be awesome. But Matter of Facts podcast is going to head out the door. It's a Friday night. Stay out of trouble. If you can't stay out of trouble, at least be good at getting out of trouble. And we'll talk to you another week. Bye, guys.
Yeah.